listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Super Bowl goals, my wife in the crib feeding the kids liquid gold. We in a whole different mode. Kids that used to pitch bricks can't be pigeonholed. I cooked up more chicken when the kitchen closed. Are we going to reach a billion first? I told my wife the spiritual shit really worked. I'm a horrible rapper.
You know what? That was actually pretty good.
Better than me.
Yeah. hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and Karen.
Yes.
With your host, Rod and
Karen.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. I was going to let you keep going. I was like, well, I guess I'm just slow today.
No, I'm tired. I've just been, you know, I got up early this morning. I went to the doctor at like 6 in the morning. I haven't taken a nap, so.
Oh, you haven't?
Yeah. So I've just been up all day. So I think that was the tired talking just now. But we here to get y'all through, okay? We know this is what y'all been waiting on all week. It's time for us to do our Walking Dead recap. Of course, the voice that you heard with doing the opening lyrics, I feel like you should be very familiar with. We always reach out to her whenever it's time to recap something.
Yes.
It's our girl, Miss Smart, who you guys may know from the Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine podcast. It's, you know, it's still out there on the internet, so you can find it. you might know her from her blog, thinkprettysmart.com. And on Twitter, she's at think_P_smart. What's going on?
Nothing, chilling. I just earlier, a few minutes ago, told the story of how I came in and my internet was broken, but then, you know, gay white Jesus from Walking Dead turned it back on. Look at that.
Oh yeah, that's right. That Jesus is gay. I hope they don't I hope they don't lose no listeners, you know, no viewers or nothing, man. I hope everybody can handle it. They do a gay Jesus love scene. I hope people don't lose their minds over it, okay, guys? But yeah, I'm glad you got the internet is up, man. I was prepared to go all out, you know. don't forget, guys, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews if you like the show. If they're nice, we'll read them on the air. As long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. No sponsor today. We can just get right into the show, okay? Now before we get started, I do have one thing to say though. Before we get started, guys, listen. I see the way y'all talk about my Uggs and my pumpkin spice. And I just got my new pumpkin spice lotion.
Oh, it smells so good.
It smells, doesn't it? I'm gonna need you Negroes to be a little more honest, okay? You people are really starting to get on my nerves with all this unwarranted hate, and I'm gonna stop being an ally. Don't you want to be a good ally? I want to stop helping you people if y'all keep acting like this. Y'all being very divisive and y'all are attacking me for something that I can't even help. Okay, I had it hard too. All right, I don't know why you guys think you have the play the race card all on my page. And all, like, I don't have black friends. Like, I don't have, you know, like, I didn't come from the ghetto. I'm sick of this. And I'm sick of you guys talking about my privilege. And now I understand why the 53% had to do what they had to do. Because of people like y'all. Now, I need y'all to get back in y'all place before y'all step to me on my page talking all crazy like that, okay? I can't help that I got $5 off the Target for no reason. Okay? That's not my fault, okay? So just calm down. All right, sorry, I had to, they got me all in the tizzy, guys. I'm sorry about that. It's like I can't even right now. All right. but yeah, this is for people who watch The Walking Dead. We just got our premiere episode of season 8, episode 100, by the way. Which is huge, because nobody thought this silly shit was gonna get 100 episodes out of it when it started, you know. I think I always keep my perspective around there, which is why I think I still love the show, is because it's still a silly ass zombie show, but people treat it like it's high art, and they have all these like these Shakespearean expectations of the show, and I'm like, I don't know, man, I never thought the silly zombie show would be 100 episodes in, and congrats to them. The episode title was Mercy. It had about 11.5 million people watched this live, which pretty pretty steady from last season. Like, that's not that, last year they got a huge jump to start the season, and I think that was because of the way they ended it with the cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. But this time they didn't do that. At any rate, Mercy is an episode about them finally taking the fight to the saviors in an organized fashion. And then we get some stuff with Vic having visions of the future and some flash forward type stuff all going on at the same time. I'll start with you first, Karen, and ask the question that I always ask. What'd you think about this episode overall?
I loved it. I had a ball. I had a good time.
All right. Miss Smart, what about you?
I liked it. I watched it like 5.5 times. Kept going back, noticing little things and trying to, you know, write things. Well, once I found out I was going to be on the show, to write things down, because I feel like I'm going to be 6 episodes down the road and then something that we saw this first episode is going to mean something, and I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, this is interesting because this is an episode I feel like you almost have to watch twice, at least twice, because they did so much with the flash forward shit. And I don't know what's a dream, what's actually going to happen, what is in his head, or any of that stuff. And there's a lot of little stuff in there that I'm sure we'll get to now that we're doing the recap. But yeah, it was, I thought it was a good episode. Listen, there are certain things that on this show I stand for, and motherfucking Crazy Rick is one of, like, when Rick is got his swagger going, like, I fucking love that shit. Like, I hated last season's, like, cuck Rick. You know, like, we can't fight. We gonna die. Give them your guns. Like,
and season 2 Rick.
Yeah, season 2 Rick. Like, I like when Rick is in formation and he's got the whole crew ready to buck off. Like, that gave me my whole life. And then, I really enjoy, you know, having a Morgan we can depend on.
Right. Again.
Like, that was more about me being right than anything else, because I was just more like, I told y'all niggas they weren't gonna just let Morgan be a piece of shit for the whole series. All right, so we'll break it down kind of scene by scene in a second here. Like I said, we back, man, and I'm super excited about it. Matter of fact, let me go find that music so I can play the theme to start the show, guys. I know we all missed it.
No.
Another one rides the bus. No. And another one rides in another. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry about that, guys.
A that little ain't bit of a mix jam. Up. Mm-hmm.
My bad. Here we go. This is Johnny here.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Nope. Not this one either. We're on an easy street. And it feels so sweet. A damn song.
All right. First time. I'm going to stop playing. And now Spotify don't want to work anymore. I made Spotify quit. Oh, that sounds so good. Feels so good to be back with our crew of favorite social justice warriors going around fixing the earth. So this, I broke this down in 3 parts, okay? Because, and one part is super long and the other 2 parts are short. Basically what I'm going to do is, there was old man Rick. We'll save him for second to last. There was Rick crying in what looked like maybe a church or some place. We'll do morning Rick very third, and then we'll do like all the stuff that's happening in the present day. We'll just go ahead and get that out the way first, and it's the longest part. All right, so
sure.
Rick, Ezekiel, and Maggie were all giving a speech to their collective people about the war they're gonna have with Negan. They were standing on the back of a truck and everybody was working, and they could have played the A-Team music, the A-Team theme behind all that, because they were just like cutting wood and metal and then putting it on the side of cars. Right. I'm like, what the fuck are they going to do with these vehicles? Only thing missing was Mr. T talking about not getting on no planes, you know.
Oh.
So they were, you know, you could tell they were planning something. They was putting all types of Mad Max shielding on these vehicles and shit. And it's all in the montage where Rick's giving a speech and he goes first, then Ezekiel goes, and then Maggie goes. And his speech is just basically, we're gonna make the world a better place. And part of that is, we're the kind of people that get rid of people like Negan. These motherfuckers that just take shit, and we're gonna end it. We don't want to, and we kill people, but we don't celebrate it, but we don't have to be ashamed of it either. The only person that he thinks has to die, he doesn't say his name, but he's like, there's only one person that has to die. And we know, obviously, he's talking about Negan. Mm-hmm. And he says, and I will kill him myself. And it's shit like this always makes me laugh, because it's like, you know how fucking hard in the middle of a war it's gonna be to make sure you the one that gets to kill the dude? But like, that when Rick is crazy like that, I just be believing in him. It's like Pat Riley giving a speech to the Knicks. I feel like they're gonna win the championship this time. Even though it's still the Knicks, right?
Still the Knicks.
So he was like, and I'm gonna kill him myself. And everybody was listening or whatever. And he was like, and if any, you know, and the people that prop him up, stand by his side, or even look the other way, looking at you, Eugene. He said, so be it. Then we keep making the world bigger together. So like, after we kill this motherfucker, that the plan is we're gonna rebuild civilization. Now he's dreaming super big. Then Ezekiel chimed in on the speech, and he's been cracking me up this season, because
right
now that he's got Maggie there and Rick there, he's not having to give speeches alone, but he's like a black preacher almost.
Yeah, he feeds off their energy.
Yeah, because Rick is like, we're gonna do it together, and then Ezekiel's like, yes, together.
Pipe man,
right?
Yes,
he's like, we shall shed blood together as one. I'm just like, all right, buddy, calm down. Bring it down a notch. And then Maggie gave a speech about how they're going to do this because the future is ours and the world is ours. And at the same time in this montage, they show Dwight, who's at the Savior's compound, working on something outside. And a fucking crossbow bolt hits the tire of his motorcycle. Or it might not have been his motorcycle, but a motorcycle. Real dick move. And he pulls the crossbow bolt out of it, and there's a note in there that says tomorrow. And I thought this was funny because, you know, obviously, Daryl shot the crossbow bolt, but it's like, mm-hmm. Did he have to fucking hit the tire of the motorcycle? What a dick move. He's still.
Wait. In defense of Daryl, what's his name? Tortured him.
And stole his bike and his crossbow.
Right.
Yeah, it's super petty. It was super petty. Even though they're working together, Daryl's...
No, that's deserved.
Yeah.
Petty is extra. This is basically deserved. He could have did more.
Mm-hmm. Daryl made the time. You know what I'm saying? He was like... like, I just see him lining up the shot like, man, fuck this nigga and his bike. Psst. But, yeah, he... So he pulls out the crossbow bolt, sees a note that says, tomorrow, and then he sends a crossbow message back over the fence. It's funny the way they film this. I feel like this is just a TV thing, but like, Daryl was standing behind a like wooden board or planks or whatever.
Yeah,
there were spaces in between the planks, and he was standing behind it, and the crossbow just hit the plank perfectly and didn't hit Daryl. And I was like, that shit could have fucked him up in any number of ways. Uh-huh. But they just thought it would be cool on TV to be like, and then Daryl comes from behind the board. And it's like, oh, it's Daryl the whole time. But I was like, stupid, what are you doing? Like,
I was like, I hope they don't catch y'all.
Right, stand by something metal, stupid. But, yeah, Daryl takes the note from the board. And that's like how we know they working together. Cause, you know, last season we saw that they were going to try to, Dwight was going to try to help them out. But yeah, I just thought that shit was funny. Daryl looks at the note, and I don't think we saw what the note says.
Not initially.
But I'm assuming it said, do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yeah.
Send this back. Carol and Tara were on top of a bridge. Tara wrote down 1028. On a sheet of paper, and she said it out loud, And then Carol tells Tara, she's like, get down. They get down and you see underneath them a herd of walkers is passing. What's amazing about this, they have literally been setting up this herd of walkers for at least 16, 18 episodes. Like, this herd of walkers is from last season when they were talking. I remember two of Negan's men that got killed by Carl were talking about the fucking walkers. Like, god damn, that's a long game. That's the long game right there.
Mm-hmm. because it was so big, it was like, yeah, y'all have been rounding this group up for a while. You can tell they have been out there for a while, just kind of making it get bigger.
It kind of makes sense that a herd of walkers would almost be like a natural disaster at this point.
Correct.
So yeah, they had the herd of walkers, and they get down under the bridge. Now the bridge, the overpass is over these walkers, but they just don't want the walkers to see them up there, get distracted or whatever.
Right, and quit going forward.
Right, and they just wait it out as the walkers walk underneath the bridge. And Tara says, 1028 again. Then Carl drives a van into an old abandoned gas station to scavenge.
With his one eye.
Yeah, well, Karen, he's going to have one eye. Man,
I was like, his
depth. But at least he knows how to drive this time.
Yes, yeah, first time he ain't crashed in a long time.
I was like, ain't your depth perception fucked up, son?
You know what? Fetty car got to drive, Karen. Fetty car can't be waiting on y'all.
I mean, he is on the car on the road, so hey.
Right. So yeah, he drives up to this abandoned gas station. He hops out. He's scavenging, and while he's scavenging, he hears a voice of some guy who's like, "I'm okay. I had a microwave thrown at me. I've been shot at, but I'm just gonna say something my mama used to say. Whatever you have of good, spend on the traveler. You know, the people that don't have a home and all this shit." And while he's talking, Carl is like, pulled his gun out, looking for this motherfucker, dropped his gas can, and he starts searching to see like if he can find who this dude is or where he's at. And he finally gets to drop on him and he's like, "Hey." And the guy puts his hands up and he's like, "I'm gone. I don't want no problems, you know, like, just calm down, buddy." And Carl seems to be listening to him. He's like, "Look, I just like some food or something. Like, I don't need anything. Just, you know, at least just can you give me some food? Can you spare something?" And Carl, before he can say something, Rick runs over, shoots over the guy. He doesn't shoot at the guy, but he shoots in the air like 3-4 times, like pow pow pow, and the guy runs off thinking that, you know, Rick's shooting at him. And Carl just seemed bothered, like he was looking at Rick like, "I can't believe you did that," which I'm like, how far in this show do we have to get? Well, we have when it sinks in, like, yo, we don't know these motherfuckers.
That was Rick's uh-huh. point, but I will say that Carl still kind of has faith in humanity. He ain't completely gave up yet, and you know, he's technically still a child, quote-unquote child. So in his mind, he's like, the man just asks for help, even though Rick, like, all the shit we've been through and you still don't get this yet.
Listen, Fetty Carl shot a dude in the woods outside the prison. Okay, he know about catching bodies of strangers, so I don't understand why he
now
going,
you know,
back.
I have a go ahead. Sorry, I have a theory on Carl behaving this way. I think it's Enid. I think she messed him up and got in his head. He all in love and stuff.
Got his nose wide open. That might be what it is. Because the other thing is, Carl, the dude that was crushing on Enid and the older brother of that dude that little boy that Rick was fucking his mom or trying to fuck his mom. Mm-hmm. That dude tried to kill Carl and Carl let him live. Like, Carl, nah, you're not about to turn into Glenn, dog. You gotta start catching some bodies, okay? Now, I'm not saying he had to kill this dude, but I didn't think he needed to look at his dad like, "I can't believe you ran him off." He's like, and Rick reminded him, like, we at war with the saviors. We don't know what all the motherfuckers look like.
Correct.
Like, we take this dude in, next thing you know, this motherfucker's robbing the pantry or the guns or some shit or opening the gate at night, like, we at war. Uh-huh. It's not the time to make new friends. No new friends, Carl.
No new friends.
Boy, I swear that boy is gonna be the end of me.
Yeah.
But then Carl says, "It's not gonna be enough, Dad." And Rick's like, "Enough what?" And he says, "Hope." So I don't know what that means. I don't know if you're saying they need to recruit more people, if you're saying Rick is not providing enough hope to inspire the people. I don't know what Carl meant by that cryptic shit.
Don't pay the bills. Hope don't keep us safe.
No, it don't.
Hope gets Trump elected.
Come on now.
So do you think Carl thinks they don't have the numbers? Like, because what does he mean by, it's not, hope isn't going to be enough. What does he mean by that?
Well, that in order to survive, in order for us to have survived, mm-hmm. we had to have more than hope. Mm-hmm. We had to have marketable skills. We had to have cooperation. This guy doesn't have, he can't get his own food. He begging. He's by himself. Yeah, he needs more than hope.
Okay. Yeah, I feel you. All right. So then they have a montage of them taking all the saviors out at all their little outposts, all the lookouts, like, and you see somebody crossing their names off a list, and it turns out to be Rick. But it's like, they just have descriptions where it's like, tree stand off of Highway 75, and you see that dude get sniped out.
I mean, he just fell like a rock. I was like, what happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder how they filmed that stunt. Cause I was like, was that, cause it didn't look like they had no special effects. It's like he just flipped out the fucking tree.
Mm-hmm. They probably shot him with an arrow or something.
I know someone died on the stunt thing last year. And then, they had a dude that was like hanging out by his car, and Daryl came up and killed him from behind and took his gun.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, the gun had notches of people he killed on the barrel. Mm-hmm. That dude that killed 44 people, right? Nigga, maybe he was rounding up, but still, that's a lot of people. I don't know if Carol's caught 44 bodies yet, and we think Carol's like the deadliest motherfucker on the show, it's just a montage of motherfuckers getting murked out. Morgan caught a body. I was so proud, man. I could have stood up and walked around. Mm-hmm. I was so happy, because
about time.
Yeah, Morgan ain't gonna kill nobody. I said, man, listen, they killed this little man's. You know what I'm saying? Morgan, yeah, savage again.
Did kill his boy.
And he ain't go full clear either. Like, he didn't kill him and then go, clear, Rick, I can feel it, whatever. Like, I'm talking to my dead wife. Like, he didn't even go crazy. He just killed him and was like, all right, well, that was that. So I appreciate him, just chucking that spear around. After that, Rick, of course, folds up the list because they've killed everybody. So far on the list, and Gabe comes up to him, and go ahead, Kay.
I think that list was what was on the thing that shot back, the arrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you think that list came directly from
Dwight? Yes.
Oh, so right. Rick didn't have a list.
No,
Daryl must have had the list then.
Yeah, Daryl okay. had the list,
because see, it's two groups. It's Daryl, Carol, Tara, and Morgan. That's one group out there on their own. So their part of it was to herd the walkers and then to kill all the lookouts, so Rick and them could have an easier way in. Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I thought Rick had the plans, but yeah, it must have been Dwight, because all white people look alike to me in the hands. Like,
yeah, you're right, because we just seen the hands. Yeah. So I really do think that was.
It probably was. Right. It probably was. That makes way more sense.
Right, and it was rolled up, because you remember the paper was rolled around the arrow.
It was rolled up, and the ones Rick was looking at was more loose.
Right.
All right, so, but Rick was looking at some paper. I don't know what the fuck it was then.
And it might have been a different list that was, they may have got that list doing their own.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Gabe comes up, he says, 30 minutes, we're almost ready, are you? And Rick is clearly, weighing the fact that they about to go into this battle, and people gonna die, and he's kind of resenting it, even though he knows they gotta do it, because he was like, yeah, I'm ready. But then he looked at everybody and he said it all started with one person, basically like Negan got us going to war with each other, and we don't have to, like, all these people gonna die because of this one man. And Gabe said it always starts with one person. And Rick is like looking at him like, oh, are you trying to say that this is me? Like, this is my ego versus Negan. Like, I'm trying to make us fight on my behalf. And he goes, this isn't about me. And Gabe actually goes, I know it isn't. You made it like that. Which is kind of, I guess, the point of the last season, is that the way Rick was so hesitant to fight, and everyone around him was, were the people that had to be like, no, we want to fight. This isn't about your ego, because he had checked his ego and everything. I think that's the whole purpose of the last season, was just to get us to that point where it's like, no, 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 they're not fighting for Rick anymore. They're fighting because this is who they are, and this is the right thing to do.
Yeah, when people fight for the causes, and the causes is bigger than one person, the cause is like, I can say it. The cause is something that's like a deep rooted thing. People are willing to die for an idea versus a person.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was, I thought that was a little cool, cool moment. And so then, we see Rick going to kiss Judith, who is big as hell. She was down there doing multiplication.
I think she was studying algebra, sitting there studying algebra.
Rick came over and she said, Dad, did you know that the invasion of Portugal was in 1863? But he came over, she was like coloring with some chalk in the streets. And then, and I'm just like, man, that girl, she got big so fast. Shane got some strong genes. Like,
cause that's his baby.
Shane must have just, he must have been on that HGH or something. And then Rick tongued down Michonne. Real good. And, I mean, just in front of everybody, just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they ain't got nothing to hide.
And I was like, you know, I feel about Rick the way I kind of feel about Obama, where it's like, as long as you do right by that black woman, how I'm gonna hate you, bro? Just keep doing your thing, loving your wife and your family, and it's gonna be all right, you know? It's hard to be against somebody that turned down Michonne like that. You just like, ah, I guess he ain't that stupid. If he was stupid, she wouldn't be with him, right?
Correct.
So then he hugged Carl goodbye and said, this is the end of it. Which I'm like, nigga, this is episode one of season of the season. It's not, of all the things that I know aren't true.
And that statement is not.
Yeah, today will never be the end of it, nigga. Because you're going to have to go through this for 15 more weeks of just epic dragons and fightings, and we're gonna have to take a winter break that's gonna make us all sad. Come like on. Nigga. But yeah, he said this
thing. So wait. Yeah. With Michonne, okay, so Maggie's with the crew and she's allegedly pregnant. Mm-hmm. I don't really believe. I think she lied and she's just passing it off. Mm-hmm. But well, I don't know. She had a ripped uterus, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
so
true.
She's good enough to go out. Michonne wasn't limping or anything, mm-hmm. and yet she somehow is able to stay at home. Like she has essentially got off the pole.
Yes. Yep.
She ain't out there fighting. She's at home cooking things and probably, you know, changing Carl's bandages and, you know, clipping his bangs every so often. She won.
Yeah.
So far.
She has stepped into her Uggs and her pumpkin spice latte life, and she is just shining on their ass, and I don't blame her.
Yeah, but all the swelling went down, because now in the last season she was fucked up.
She was fucked up last season, so we know some time has passed since they've decided to go on this attack, and I can only assume that there's been a unsteady truce or something. Like they haven't been warring since then. I guess everybody's fallen back and licked their wounds. But now our group is on the offensive, so to them it's like, well, we're gonna be the people to make the next move. But she wasn't swole up at all. She was back to fine, just like that. So then Rick leaves with a fucking caravan of vehicles that all got fitted with metal panels looking like Mad Max and shit.
Come on.
But they weren't protective panels, like if you want to armor a vehicle, they were panels that look like if you put a piece of metal siding on half of a car and it was bigger than the car. That's what it looked like, for those who don't watch the show. And you could tell Carl was salty about being left to defend Alexandria instead of getting to go with them, and so was Michonne. She was like, everything hurts, so I'm assuming she's still sore, maybe,
right?
And you know, Carl is, in her mind, Carl and probably Rick's too, Carl is being left there partially to help defend her.
Right.
You know? And so Carl is like, well, you know, we got, I hate being here. We got to stay here and defend the place. And Michonne's like, well, you know, I'm gonna follow your lead. I'll help you defend the place. And he was like, looking at her like, what? My lead? And she's like, yeah, you'll see. You're gonna be a leader here. Like, this isn't about us anymore. It's about, you know, you gonna step up and be the man. And Rosita was just sitting on the porch with her arms folded, nursing her bullet wound as the cars drove off. And she probably mad she can't help too.
Yeah.
I hate her.
Nah!
The actress who plays her is fine.
Ain't she fine? She beautiful.
Such a nice person, but God damn, I hate Rosita. She's so mean and just,
yeah, the way she's written.
So irrational and angry for no fucking reason at this point. I can't, she be lying and shit. Like, I don't give a fuck about no Abe. Then she out there like, I hope I get killed and not you, Sasha, cause I loved that orange man. So then but yeah, they drive off, and you know, Michonne and Carl have a moment. Then there's one of I low-key love these scenes, but they're so stupid. There's a scene where there's a fucking savior out in the field by himself with a walker who's tied to a tree and it looks like whenever that walker was a person in the live, somebody burned his ass, like half his body, and tied him to a tree. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was supposed to be this guy who did it or somebody else, but at whatever the fucking reason, he's just out there like looking at it and being a dick, like, huh, look at this shit, ain't that something? And then while he's amused, Rick slides up behind him and stabs that nigga in the gut like fucking Chaz dad from Mad Real World. And he don't even kill him. Like, he just shanked him and left him lying there. And while he was bleeding out, he started talking shit to Rick. And Rick wasn't paying no attention. He was going through his stuff, looking for cans that might have some food in them and all that shit. And he was like, the dude's like, it's not gonna work, Rick. You a bitch. You a cuck. You gotta grow some balls. You think you can take down Negan? You're not gonna get Negan. And, Rick was like, yeah, okay, then, without saying a word, he just went and cut the line that the zombie was tied up to and let it eat cuz.
Right.
Which I thought was some cool shit. By the way, what happened to all the I Am Negan shit? Nobody saying that now that they got shot at, huh?
Come on, things change.
Well, they got promotions, so they don't have to do that. That was when they were online.
Yeah. They done crossed over.
Now they done crossed over. They, you know, no more I Am Negan. They don't gotta say the Greek alphabet, none of that.
Nope.
That's how they should have. I Am Negan. Big Brother Negan on the yard. Everybody. I caught one of Negan's people walking on the grass. Oh,
shit,
oh
now.
He gonna get fucked up. So then Rick kills him, and then he waves the caravan of cars over, and they all come up a hill to where Rick is. And then they gather in a field, and now it's not just Alexandria. Everybody from the kingdom and everybody from the hilltop has done the same thing to their cars, and they all gather together, and they're like, and they have some pretty cool meet cutes, some little like. Some characters that don't normally get to share scenes get to share some scenes. The woman with the bow tells this dude, I got your back. And he's like, we just met. And she's like, all of us just met.
Right, because a lot of them are literally seeing each other. Rick and the crew is the only one that's kind of been to all three places. All these areas have never met each other in one big setting before.
Yeah, and then Aaron and Eric, you know, who are husbands, Aaron catches Eric praying. And he's like, you over there praying? And Eric was like, I always meant to start, better late than never. And then Aaron was like, I didn't know I was dating a homophobe. Can't believe you're gonna bring that religion in our house like this. I guess he'd never seen him pray before or whatever, you know. But it would have been funny if he would have turned to him and been like, and guess what? I'm delivered.
Oh no.
If we gonna die, I don't wanna go to hell, okay? That's what they believe. I'm just covering my bases. If we die today, I went to heaven because I'm not gay no more, okay? But nah, he that was like a little sweet moment. He's like, oh, you praying and shit? Cause you know, also Eric wasn't the one that was, I mean, yeah, Eric wasn't the one that was batted out in the field like that.
He preferred for him to stay with him. Cause he was like, hey, you go out there, you risk your life. And now they basically are fighting together out of necessity.
Yeah. And well, Eric didn't even want to fucking leave the house after that one adventure went crazy where he fucked up his ankle. Like, that was pretty much it for him. He was like, I'm a house husband. Fuck this shit.
Ain't that the truth?
But then things got so bad last season, he went out with Aaron again when they went to that lake with the trap that the Junticons saw them at. He went out there. So, and he went to, I think he might have went with them to the Junticons. I'm not 100% on that. But the point being, I guess he about it now because he out the house, ready to go bucking at Negan and them. I'm just like, okay, good for you, bruh. But he wasn't trying to fake it. He was out there praying because he just didn't know what was going to happen.
He's like, I'm not about this life. I'm here, but I'm still ain't about that life.
Right. And then Jerry gave Enid some armor to put over her sternum. And she said she didn't want it because her and Maggie were just going to go right back after the plan, like go back to Hilltop. And he was like, dude, take the armor. And then she was like, no. And he goes, dude. And then she took it. Which I thought was a cute little scene.
Yes.
Then Rick asked Maggie if she's sure about this because she's supposed to be pregnant and she's gonna be out here shooting at niggas and then they gonna be shooting back possibly. And she said, you can wage war through the second trimester. I checked. And I'm like, didn't you just have some serious issues? I don't know. You know what? Women are powerful and can do anything they want.
The body's a marvelous thing.
Yeah. No, so I don't know the rules. You know, if Rosalie could fight off a slave catcher and leeches in the wood, then hey, what do I know? What do I know? So then Ezekiel said that Maggie can come to the kingdom where they have a woman who's a good doctor and she got skills and she can look after her. And Jesus tells him, we'll get our doctor back, so don't worry about it. And Ezekiel
see, but you know what? Wait, Ezekiel didn't sell that right. He should have said they got cobbler, they got a choir, they got the tiger, and then the doctor, because Maggie's obviously not all that concerned about that baby.
Yeah, he clearly broke character because he said a doctor and not a midwife, you know.
I was like, this midwifery.
Yes, we have a woman who specials in midwifery. Oh, okay. Yes, I'll take that. She's excellent with leeches. But but my favorite part is when Jesus was like, we'll get our own doctor. For a second, his face went blank. Like, nigga, are you crazy? Y'all need a real doctor. She's pregnant. But then he got back in character like that. And he was like, yes, Jesus. Yes, you will. And I was like, that nigga lying so good. He's so good. Oh man. Oh. I can't wait till him and Carol smash and he breaks character around her.
Oh, that's gonna happen.
Yeah, poor Tobin. Poor Tobin gonna be watching. So Rick tells Maggie that the Hilltop is lucky to have her, and he said that after they do this, he's gonna be following her. And two things about that. One, I think Rick sincerely wants to retire from the mantle of leadership. This shit is stressful. He don't have all the answers. Mm-mm. If anything, his leadership held them back last season.
Correct.
Because he ain't want to lose everything that they had fought for, but they kept losing more and more under his leadership until they basically told him to grow some balls. The second thing is, I think the series has really set Maggie up to be a big part of the like leadership, like the future of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's kind of already, but yeah, she's gonna be over Hilltop,
right? Because we know diversity works, but first it works for white women, then it trickles down to the rest of everybody. So, but nah, Maggie, he told Maggie, I'm gonna be following you after this, and and I guess three things. The third, Rick thinks today is it. Like, he's thinking, after today, after we win the battle, the war, this is, I'm gonna be following you from now on. And it's like, okay, all right. So then, on the bridge, Daryl, Carol, Tara, and Morgan are waiting on that herd to come through, and now it's 7:50 at night, and Tara counts down literally to the seconds on this part of the highway where the walker should cross around the corner. And she's off by like 10 seconds, but that tells us that they have found a way to really, like, not just herd these walkers, but to time them.
Ah, but because they know how fast they're moving.
Yeah, right? Down to the second, which is some Eugene shit, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's Tara doing that, you know? Tara ain't exactly the sharpest tool in the box, and she fucking was like, she's like 10, 9, 8, and then they came around a little bit slow, but still.
She was like, close enough.
Yeah, I mean, which makes sense. A herd is basically a natural disaster at this point. It's like tracking, it's no different than tracking the weather if you can do it.
You might be a little off, but you got the direction right.
Right, and if you can aim it, then now you got a weapon. So what they do is they start setting off explosions to make the herd follow a certain path, and they do that by blowing up a SUV that was on the highway at that point. Well, I don't know whose car that was, but it's blown to smithereens. And the saviors see this explosion from their compound, and they're like, oh, we gotta send out a crew. What they don't know is the person who's dispatching the crew is Dwight, who's a goddamn mole.
Correct.
Right. And so he's like, let's send out 10 guns, 2 cars. We're going to let, you know, be ready for anything. She's like, you think it's them? Because there's another woman on the dispatch at the time. And he goes, I don't know, but, you know, we just need to be ready. And I don't know if this woman got her dialogue straight from Mad Max or not.
Yeah.
But then she goes, I want some bang, bang, Dwighty. I want some screen, screen. I want some blood.
He was like, bitch, you might get it.
I'm like, what the fucking 70s blaxploitation film did they get this woman from? I want some scream, scream. I want some blood.
them lines.
Yeah, that was, what was that movie where it was all those gangs in New York and they were like stranded? Where it was like, where it was the same way where the dude gave the speech where he was like, can you dig it? Warriors, yes, nigga. That, she sounded like the black woman on the Warriors. I know it was a white woman, but just the way she was like, I want some bang, bang, Dwighty. I want some scream, scream. I want some blood. I was like, I was expecting her to be like, and all you punks out there, if you can't make it to downtown, you're going to have to get past the clowns and the roller skating crew or whatever. Anyway, Dwight says, well, maybe you'll get lucky, which, of course, he knows they're going to get lucky.
You know what? My dream is that it is a black woman and it's Negan's black wife.
That's the job she got?
Yes.
Yep. Yep.
I want that black woman to be the first podcast of the Z-Pod. That's what I want her doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you tuned in to Chocolate Sundays. We about to play some hits for y'all. Starting off with Frankie Beverly and Maze.
Right. I'm gonna show you how to keep your wig tight on a budget.
Mm-hmm. Sending this out to Sasha, girl. We miss you. Mm-hmm.
Let me show you how to make some homemade shea butter out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. So yeah, that was just funny. And then on the road with the overpass, they find another road that's in the middle of this town, and it has like one of those overpasses that's just a walkway. It's not an actual, like, you couldn't put a car up there. It's like what people use across the road so they don't have to like get ran over. And of course, Carol, Daryl, Morgan, Tara are sitting up there waiting for what seems like the herd to come through or something. They set a trip wire on a car so that, you know, if something hits it, it probably make the car explode or whatever. And they're just standing up there and waiting. While this is happening, Dwight leaves his post to smoke a cigarette, and two men on the roof above him get shot with sniper rifles and die.
And he walk off like, doo, 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 doo. Uh-huh. I saw nothing.
Right.
Because, see, they're on the roof. They're so far away from him. And he had his back turned to him. So it's not like he could, quote unquote, see them.
So then a caravan of the cars that Rick was with all the panels on them and shit, that caravan rides through right after the people die. So that, you know, those lookouts would have spotted them. But now they're dead, so they won't be spotting anything. And they pull up in like this formation, and they use the car's paneling as shields, and they get out the cars and kind of walk behind the shield, so one, they can't be seen, but two, if you're gonna shoot at them, you're not gonna be able to shoot them.
Almost like a maze. It was really neatly set up.
Yeah, it was. It's that kind of forethought that I missed, or that not even missed, that we've all been rooting for them to get to. You know, it's the kind of shit that we've been like, well, why don't you just plan for the worst, and if it comes, at least you were ready. And that was a, hey, we going into battle and we don't want to lose nobody type of plan right there. I like that.
And I would have expected that when Abe was around, because he was allegedly, you know, he was in the military and stuff. And I'd really like to know the backstory on who came up with that.
That's true, especially without Eugene there, because that seemed like something Eugene would have thought of or something. That's an interesting point, yeah. I guess they could have added a scene where maybe we get a couple seconds of someone coming up with that idea. You know, it's probably Toby. You know, he built the fence.
Possibly.
He's like,
and he had nothing else to do since Carol left him. So
he out there like, and if y'all see Carol, can y'all tell her? I said, hey, yeah, Toby, man, just finish drawing the plans up, please.
She ain't coming back, dog. Yeah. She ain't coming back.
Toby, I don't even want to tell you what she out there doing, bro. Just please, just fill the plans out, please. they get behind all the barriers or whatever, and they take their guns out, and they shoot them four times in unison, and this makes Negan and his lieutenants come out, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan comes out, immediately starts cooning as always.
It's of course.
He's like, well, shit, I'm sorry, I was in a meeting, and then it goes commercial. Listen, man, I saw an article that said it said, like, you can't make your villain also be a clown. The Walking Dead is messing up. And I was like, yes, you can.
The Joker.
Like, why he can't be a funny clown? Like, he killed you and he got jokes. I don't understand. What's the problem?
It's a whole comic book series, The Joker. He laughs, that shit be funny, he'll fuck you up.
Yeah, like, they called him a buffoon or some shit. I was like, he not a buffoon, dog. He still, I bet you won't say it to his face.
I bet you won't either. And truthfully, I'm going to tell you right now, reading the comic books, I love this version of Negan than the version in the comic book.
Much funnier.
Right.
Yeah, the only thing, I wish he could cuss as much, but...
I wish he could cuss, too.
It feel like without the cussing, they really had to find ways to make him funny.
Right.
That where you can't just say fuck. And he killing it to me, but yeah, I saw that article and was like, man, whatever, dog. Go watch something else.
Correct. And
the comedy makes him actually seem more dangerous to me.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, usually somebody who's that duplicitous and cruel would have, you know, the stern in his face. Like, he lulls you in. Obviously, he's attractive.
Right.
But then he lulls you in with his sing-song talking and his little lean back. Like, I don't take this guy seriously. And then he kills you with a baseball bat.
Yeah, and there's also something to him that kind of makes a kind of sense that I think the comic never did for me. Because, like, he's cruel and fucked up, but he really does think that he's saving society. Cause it's just got to be like, no, we need people to pay when they fuck up. It's the only way. But in his mind, he doesn't see himself as like some cruel tyrant. He really does think like, well, I'm giving people chances. I don't know why they keep fucking up. I guess I gotta burn their face off. I mean, damn, I didn't want to have to do that, but you know, like, this is just what needs to be done. And y'all need to believe that a guy like me is out here being the boogeyman to make sure this shit runs right. But I think they portray that better on the show than they ever did in the comics.
Right.
In the comics, I always just felt like someone would have just shot Negan in the head and that would have been the end of Negan. It would have never got this big. But in the show, I'm like, oh, I can see how it would get this big. It's cool for 99% of people living there. Like, if you live in the Xavier compound and all you do is grow beets for your life, for the most part, you straight.
You good.
Like, I grow a beat, every once in a while, Negan come through, steal a beat, you know what I'm saying? Like, one of the lieutenants might take one, but other than that, I'm good.
Right.
I'm a woman in this situation, I don't have to worry about being sexually assaulted.
Come on.
Some random motherfucker, like, Negan out here killing motherfuckers for that shit. And then even with his, like, harem and shit, it seems like the whole harem deal is, well, look, if you don't want to grow beats and be out here in the streets, I mean, you can always come to death row, you know, like, and you know, that sister got over there and signed up quick, like, shit,
I mean, basically, people just paying taxes. That's all.
Oh, y'all got shea butter in here? Okay. Tyrone, we need to talk.
Mama might not be coming back.
Tyrone, the good news is you only have to forge for one.
Right, just you.
Anyway, so they take their guns out and they shoot them four times in unison, everybody. And that makes Negan come out, you know. And Negan then proposes that they don't have to battle because he cares about his people. And if they have a battle with all this lead flying, some people going to die and he don't want to see his people die. And Rick basically eggs everything he said. And he started naming the lieutenants. Like, he's like, Dwight, Gavin, I forget the other person. And then there was a woman he didn't know. And he was like, I don't know your name. She was like, Regina. He was like, Regina. Well, listen, Eugene. That's who the other person was.
He didn't call Eugene. Started talking. He was like, he looked at him like, nigga, I know who you are.
Yeah, everybody looked at Eugene like, shut the fuck up.
Like, you don't count, dog.
And he basically said, look, y'all the lieutenants. If y'all surrender, we'll make sure y'all live and all y'all people live. And that's the only offer y'all gonna get. And then Negan is like, but what about me though? Sound like you planning on killing me, Rick? Like, kind of deal is that? I don't think he thought it was a very good deal, you know, especially he's been a fair boss. I mean, they just had another diversity hire. Regina just made lieutenant. You know, I think the black woman that works for Google is in that HR department.
Come on.
She's like, look at all this diversity. White man, white man, white man, white man, white woman, who might be a lesbian from the way she was looking. So, you know, we got a lot of white people out here.
Representing everybody up in the group.
Mm-hmm. This one got a mullet, all kinds of opinions. So, Negan asking Rick, do you think you have the numbers for this fight? And it kind of occurs to me, they still don't know how many people the Saviors have for sure. Mm-mm. But with Dwight's inside information, they probably have a better, like, if Negan has been honest with Dwight, which we don't know.
Right.
But if he has, Dwight has a better estimate of the numbers than they had before. Because before they were just fighting blind, and that's how they got fucked up. But this is a little bit like them attacking that satellite compound. You know, because they don't really know that this would be it or not, right? Anyway, while this happens, Negan goes, okay, well, Simon, bring him out. And they go inside, and Simon brings out motherfucking Gregory's bitch ass.
Mm-hmm, because he left last season, and that's where he went.
And Greg put his hands on his hips.
Come on, he a big old coon, too. He gets on my nerves, but oh, I love his snake and cooning ass.
That actor is so, listen.
Ain't he good?
This show know how to cast some people that you can hate.
Right.
Say what you want to about the show between Gabe, Gregory, Andrea taking it way back. Like, Lori. Oh,
I hated Lori.
Oh, listen. Let you hate a motherfucker. Like, they were showing replays this weekend for the build up. Boy, I fucked around and put it on an episode where Lori crashed that car. I almost lost my mind again. I said,
And what they didn't show you was that Lori was on the way to the voting booth to vote 55.
She had a Trump stick on the back of that car. They don't show you until you till you watch the replay.
Yeah, they zoom out real
good.
You
gotta zoom in. But yeah, so she was pregnant, but she was also against women's right to choose. It was crazy, y'all. Gregory comes out, and it's so funny because he's such a puppet, and he goes, the hilltop stands with the Saviors. Any resident who takes up arms against the Saviors will no longer be welcomed in the colony. And Negan goes, and Gregory looks back at him almost like a kid reciting something daddy,
I fucked up Easter speech,
right? And Negan's like, keep going. He's like, and the families will be thrown out and left to fend for themselves. And Negan goes, and Greg goes, go home now or you won't have a home to go back to. And this looks at Negan, then looks at the crowd like, did I do it good, dad?
And he wasn't convincing at all.
Right. And at that moment, the Hilltopians that are there are looking over at Maggie. And Jesus especially is like, he said, only thing I got there is a couple books and a lobster bib. Like, we ain't got to.
Right.
We ain't got to do what he say.
Right. And Maggie looked at everybody. She was like, look.
If y'all want to go. Right.
She was like, now I'm not going to force you to be here if you don't really want to be here, because I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But her thing, Maggie thing was like, hey, y'all do know him doing this, lets you know he don't give a fuck about y'all.
Right. And Negan says, now go back and separate wheat and shit or whatever it is you do. Because he don't even know what they do at the Hilltop.
Right, he just taking their shit, don't know what they giving.
He said, separate wheat and shit. And then Gregory was like, yeah, what about Maggie's emails? And Jesus was like, the Hilltop stands with Maggie. We are with her. And then Simon came up to Gregory and was like, you told me these are your people. What use are you to me if they won't listen to you? And he takes Gregory and pushes his ass down a flight of stairs,
which was hilarious. And Gregory's thing was like, hey, I rigged the votes. Right. Why didn't I win?
Right. This is me colluding with Russia. What is happening?
Right.
I thought we hacked this.
How am I on the losing side?
My favorite part about that is he pushes Gregory down the stairs. They don't even show Gregory fall down the stairs.
No, you just hear him.
They don't show him land, and they don't even show where he goes. You just know that Gregory laid his bitch ass down there and stayed put until the shit started popping off. Like,
right.
Oh,
that's
man.
Hilarious.
Like a bad dog, you know what I mean? Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Simon pushed this nigga down the stairs, and he just, you know, laying there and shit. And Rick is waiting for the other signal, which turns out to be, remember that was two cars with the 10 guns that Dwight sent out on patrol? Well, they asses was using the road that apparently Dwight and them knew about, and they ran into that motherfucking tripwire after Morgan had kept a zombie from running into it, which would have fucked up the whole plan.
Right.
God, I love a reliable Morgan. Love him. And the motherfucking cars blew up and everybody died, and Negan saw the explosion in the background, and he goes, looks like shit's going down, Rick. Oh, man. And so then, I'm sorry, it's like he didn't even care that the people died or whatever, but he was putting it together at the time, like, okay, like, this is an attack, y'all bringing your best shot. He had talked about having a bigger dick, and like, we all know who got the bigger dick and all this shit, as he is wont to do. And so then Rick tells the lieutenants make up their minds, and Gavin was looking a little funny in the light. He said, well, can we just get a timeout?
A time
for negotiations
out.
I don't know.
And I mean, can I look at the paper again? Can I read the fine print?
And if you guys watch it again,
gotta get a lawyer.
Guys, if you watch it again, you have to see Negan's face, because it's from a ways away, so it's not a close-up, but when he says it, Negan looks at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? A timeout, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, you gonna betray me in my face? Gavin just wanted, he just wanted to think about it. It was that he heard the Jeopardy music.
Right. He's like, I might die. It ain't that important to me. No, he was like, I give you back these niggified nigga letters. I'm good.
You know, he could barely keep up with his crew anyway. He had the crew that killed the little boy and shit.
Right.
You know, he made dude walk home, so. Gavin like, man, I'm just middle management. I don't got nothing to do with all this.
I came for the fun and games. I came to, you know, to be over people. I ain't come to die.
I just wanted melons and pigs.
That's it.
Now look at us. Oh my God. So then, he goes, can I get a timeout? And Rick was like, no, this has to happen now. This is the only way. And he's like, you gonna make me count? Okay. 10.
It's hilarious.
9. And I really did tweet at the time. This nigga started at 10? I was so mad. Like, Rick, I thought we learned. I thought you, fuck these niggas, just buck on their ass if you shooting.
Right.
Don't give him a chance to prepare. But you know what? He did something even better. He said 10, 9, 8, 7, and just started shooting. I said, that's my motherfucking dog.
He's like, ain't nobody got time for one. Ain't nobody got time. Oh,
so good. So good.
And they shot the hell up at the side of that building.
Listen, they shot the glass out. They didn't hit a single person. Shot all the glass out, just fucking up doors, windows, bricks, just shooting. Now, I think the way they had it set up, in their minds, it didn't matter if they killed all of them or not. They were just there to kill Negan. But then two, they had more shit coming. So it's just like, we need to keep them pinned in one location while we sick this herd on them.
Right. It was almost like to kill time.
Right. Yeah. Now back to, on the road where Carol and them were at, that explosion that the people set off, it caused the herd to keep coming that way. So the herd, that's part of the plan. The herd starts walking down that street where that explosion happened. And so, Morgan, Tara, and Carol tell Daryl goodbye, and he's on his motorcycle, and he's like, yeah, this is gonna be fun. And Carol looks at him, she says, come on, you know this is not fun. And he's like, yeah, okay, well, this is what's got to happen. Like, we gotta kill these motherfuckers.
Yeah, they're gonna be fun for me.
Right. Well, he didn't even say it's gonna be fun for me, and I think that's because him and Carol had that connection where he can't even lie to her.
Right.
But yeah, they drive off in their car, then he takes a sip of water and leaves the walkers on a bike on his motorcycle. He's driving ahead of them, and he starts shooting these bombs that they plant on the side of the road to keep the herd coming towards the Savior compound.
Right. And I was like, this is a very well laid out plan. Like, they've mapped this out. They literally mapped out the whole route.
Right.
But you know what, when Maggie was doing her speech, she said, we've cracked this over and over again, we've gone through this, we've run through it. So yeah, they were fully prepared, the big team and the small team.
Right. Listen, when our group is in formation, I'm telling you, there's nobody on the planet that wanted with our group. It is a matter of, can they, you know, stay focused or not? Cause only they can beat themselves.
Rick and them do believe in the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, listen, they the social justice warriors. That's their new nickname for me. so everyone gets in their cars to leave, and Rick sees Negan and turns into Ice-T at the end of New Jack City when he seen Nino Brown.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm gonna kill you so bad, my dick is hard. And he just started fucking shooting at Negan, who was limping. I don't know if he got shot or just hurt his twisted ankle.
Anything, yeah.
I don't know. But he was limping around, and all he had was his bat. He didn't have his gun. And motherfucking Rick was bucking at this motherfucker so hard, and like, he had him pinned behind a car, and you know, there's bullets whizzing around and shit, but you could see like his eyes of rage and focus was like, I'm gonna kill this nigga today and all this shit, and season 8 gonna be one episode long, fuck this shit. And motherfucking Glenn comes over. Glenn is dead,
but if he was live, he probably would have played this role.
Glenn comes over, and one of his eyes is hanging out his head. And he goes, I will find you. All right, that's not what happened. Gabe, the preacher man, comes over. Mm-hmm. And Gabe has driven his RV, I believe. He drove Dale's RV over to the gate. And this is all while Rick's trying to kill Negan. And he hops out. Rick blows it up. And that like crashes the gate or some shit. I don't know exactly what the purpose of blowing that RV up, other than us missing Dale's RV forever.
The purpose was to blow up the gate so the zombies could just walk straight in.
Okay, there you go. And
right, and
now it's in RV heaven because of that.
I know. And also, he also told Rick that he had to calm Rick down. He's like, "Hey, Rick, this ain't about you," because Rick was just, "I'm going to get him." He was like, "Hey,
calm well, that's down. What I was getting to." All right. So Rick sees Negan and just, he's still bucking at Negan even after they blow up the fucking thing. He's like, I see this nigga, he gonna die. And so Gabe runs over and he's like, he's not going anywhere, we have to leave now, it's not about you, right? It's not about you. And Rick's like, fuck. And he goes to his car and he grabs a Polaroid camera and takes a picture of Negan hiding behind that mm-hmm. fucking car, which I'm assuming is like how Negan was taking Polaroids of himself, smashing the brains of Glenn mm-hmm. and Abe and mm-hmm. shit. And,
uh-huh. and how they found all those pictures with those people, right?
Right. And he kind of smirks, like Rick smirks a little bit, like, yeah, dick. And so then Rick gets in his car and leaves. And Gabe is ready to follow him, but then Gabe sees Gregory cowering from some zombies.
And I was like, if you don't motherfucking go.
Listen. I said.
I would have left that nigga.
I was in the house like.
Easy.
No. Don't. Don't you get out this car. Don't you get out this mother. Gabe, don't you. And you can see him almost talking himself into it.
Right.
Where he's just like, Jesus, what about the traveler? What a no nigga. Stay in your motherfucking car and drive off. This dude's evil. And I don't think him mm-hmm. and Gregory have had any interaction.
They haven't.
So I guess you could explain it that way, I guess, if you wanted to.
No. Because the Z-Pox still has a grapevine. Somebody then told, Father Gay, they didn't confess and said, oh, I have hateful thoughts in my spirit for that Gregory guy. So he has heard, trust me, the pastors know everybody's business. Right. He knew he was trash.
Yep. Well, he couldn't stop himself. So he fucking got out of the car, y'all, mm-hmm. and said, he went over there and said, why do you hate me, bro? And hugged Greg. Just hugged him right in the face. And they became best friends for 3 seconds, y'all.
Three full whole seconds.
He was like, listen, I'm gonna get you out of here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting mad. Because I would have been in the car like Joel Osteen. Okay?
What?
No one... Uh-huh. Listen, I was not contacted...
Don't you see the flood?
...by the city. The city didn't tell me that you needed help with the zombies. Okay? We would have filled out the forms. But no, this nigga gets out there, tells Gregory, I'm going to get you out of there. And Gregory says, thank you, Father. And Gabe says, don't thank me. Thank God. And then Gregory says, yeah, whatever. which immediately he should have turned around and gotten the car, because like if the dude couldn't even do it for you at that time, you know. And so while they're waiting, Gabe was like, listen, wait for us to have I'll tell you when, but we're gonna have a moment and we're gonna slip out and run to the car and we're gonna get out of here together. And Gregory's like, yeah, okay, that's cool, whatever you say, buddy. And then Gregory sees his opportunity and he jacks Gabe for his car. Mm-hmm. Gets in the car, and Gabe the whole time like, no, don't. Now I'm thinking, when you see him running for the car, you have a gun.
Shoot
nigga in his motherfucking back and go, okay, I guess you didn't want to ride, bye. Nope, he lets him get
out. But you know what,
yes,
furthermore, isn't there a story in the Bible, I don't have my Bible app open,
mm-hmm.
Where a snake is a snake, where it says, well, why you bring me home, I was a snake, you know. Mm-hmm. You knew I was a snake. Why are you even near this dude? Like, he got like zombie herpes. Why are you even near him?
Listen,
what you expect him to be?
I like, legitimately, I don't even know how to have his back, you know. Like, he was so, I have been on this man's bandwagon since he got out of the car when that traitorous ass son of the mayor or whatever was talking shit about Rick, and he said stop the car and got out and was like, you mm-hmm. a bitch ass nigga, and that's why I don't fuck with you. And ever since then, and I've been like, you know what, Greg, Gabe, maybe I had you wrong, dog. Maybe you could turn around. He started killing people, reciting motherfucking scripture, pulling the trigger on motherfuckers in their face. And I'm like, you know what, Gabe, people can turn, change. People can grow.
I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? I mean, you done came a long way from leaving Carl and Michonne in the church to die.
Right. And now this nigga is back to square one out here trusting these random white men.
Come on.
Anyway.
You know he just threw off his Make America Great Again hat because you showed up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he goes, see, that dude doesn't wear a Make America Great Again hat or a bumper sticker, but he vote for him.
You know he did.
He's part of the 77% or whatever the fuck, some high number, I'm sure. At any rate, this motherfucker leaves Greg ass on the side of the road.
Yes.
Like it was nothing. And then back at the abandoned gas station from earlier, Carl leaves some food for that stranded traveler with a note that says sorry. And we see the traveler, who looks like an Indian dude, I think. Mm-hmm. We see him look through the bushes and see that Carl left the food. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's gonna come back to help them later on, or if that's gonna really be a savior or what.
Right.
Back at the abandoned gas station. Okay. Oh, then in the kingdom, Ezekiel sees Carol and she gets out of the car and he nods and smiles at her. Cause you know, she's back, mm-hmm. You know, gonna smash those geriatric cakes to smithereens.
Mm-hmm. He wants some of that white sugar. Mm-hmm. Hey,
some of that pumpkin spice.
I know. He wants some of that powdered sugar. Hey, that's what he looking at.
He gonna give us that royal scepter, if you know what I'm saying, guys.
Oh Lord.
Mm-hmm. on the side of the road, Rick and Daryl get tired of waiting for Gabe, and Rick is like, well, because Daryl's like, you want to wait longer? And he's like, we can't. Rick's like, we got to finish the plan. And
he quotes what he said. He said, it's not about me. Right.
So then they go and attack another area of the Savior compound. And they, this is such a small scene, but Morgan was talking to the woman with the arrows. And he was like, well, you know, this part of the plan, you supposed to take the arrows and kill the guards. And he was like, you think you could do it through all that? Then talking about the zombie herd. She was like, probably not. Like, she was looking at that shit like, let's not do that plan.
Yeah, let's not press the luck. Let's do it now.
Why don't y'all figure out another way to do this shit? Cause I'm about to look real stupid if I fuck it. I ain't Katniss Everdeen. You know what I mean?
Come on.
So instead, Rick and Daryl kill the guard. But one of the guards, they just storm the compound, Carol and all them, and they try to shoot him, and he hides behind a car, then he throws a smoke grenade out, which, man, I really...
Wait, pause. Is it that was the same backdrop where Morgan came up and killed somebody from the back?
Yeah.
The burgundy, shiny... Mm-hmm. So when did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I don't know if... my thing was... Did he kill the dude already and they just got new guards out there without finding out what happened to the old nigga?
Right.
I don't know. At any rate, you're right though. It did look similar to me. Cause I was like, where is this? I guess he killed him so smooth. You know what I'm saying? Like he just left no traces. he left a note. Gotta use the bathroom, guys. Be right back.
Yeah.
They break open the fence on that area. And at this point, like, I really wish I could have seen a map of the area. Cause they already got zombies coming in on the one side where they blew up all the shit, the gate there. Like, this herd must have been big as fuck.
It was thousands.
Yeah, it must have been huge. So mm-hmm. Then they break the fucking fence on this side. And like I said, a dude throws a smoke grenade. And I really thought, now they didn't have enough time, but they really made me think about such a cool scenario of a smoke grenade with zombies in it. Well, you can't see. That would have been dope as fuck. Mm-hmm. A crew of people, you don't know who you shooting and shit. Listen, that's a nightmare right there. Anyway, that we didn't get all that. Smoke grenade, dude ran away or whatever the fuck. And so then they let the zombies inside this side of the compound as well. So now they ain't got nowhere to go. And they all, you know,
that was a big ass compound.
Right. And, you know, our people get away and shit. Gabe gets stuck inside, of the compound cause he ain't die when Greg left him. And you know,
what was hilarious? This was the convenient zombie.
Yes,
cause that nigga walked around uh-huh. And them zombies danced like he was a fucking hot potato. I was like, ain't nobody gonna reach out, ain't nobody gonna touch this nigga. What? I think he bumped into one or two of them, and they was like, "Oh, going about your way, sir."
Yeah, he's so lucky he didn't go to the Fear the Walking Dead zombies, cause they would have tackled him, jumped off a roof. Like them zombies don't have them zombies make no sense to me. Mm-mm.
and it was hilarious to watch him walk around. Excuse me.
Fear the Walking Dead has zombies.
And it's especially...
Go ahead.
It's especially crazy because we know if they had a coat of themselves and zombie guts, he could have walked right through them.
Yep.
Like, they have the option.
Always. He didn't want to get the collar dirty. But, hey, Fear the Walking Dead has zombies pull a nigga through a wall one time. Like, them zombies are just... They just do whatever the fuck they want to do. But yeah, these zombies is out there like, I can't really see too good. Is that a person?
I got zombie cataracts. Is that a person?
You know what? I'm just going to stand around a little
bit. Where's my glasses, Barbara? I don't know, Bill.
And it's not even like they were eating other people, so they were distracted. Mm-mm. Like, it was just zombies on zombies, and they didn't do nothing. So then Gabe finally runs into a trailer and opens the door and closes it, and it's dark in there, and he's stuck, and he's got his gun, and then we hear in the background, I hope you got your shitting pants on. And then it's Negan, and he in there probably with just his back, no longer limping, and he's like, because you're gonna need to have your shitting pants on because you about to shit yourself. And then it goes to commercial, and that's the end.
Yeah, I think he's gonna kill him.
Think he's gonna kill Gabe? I don't know, man. That's the thing about
him.
That's the thing about Negan, right? I never know what the fuck that nigga gonna do. You know,
whatever happens, if Gabe gets killed or tortured, he deserves it, because he walked in there with a gun. He could have at least punched Negan with a gun, took his leg out or something. He probably gonna sit there and try and pray Negan away.
Oh, Lord, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How dare you? Right, how dare you?
Listen,
right in front of my salad.
Right in front of our salads. I was so and I know it hurts a lot of people that watch this show as black people to see what happens to some of these characters, but I feel like Gabe is one of the people we can let go. Like, mm-hmm. You know,
I don't think he's gonna make it. My personal guess is he's not gonna make it the whole season.
Continue my routine of just voting and rooting for all the black people.
Like, I understand that a lot of y'all just continue to root for all the black people on this show, but I've never been one of yous. Maybe that's why I'm wearing the Uggs and the pumpkin spice at this point, because I didn't like T-Dog and wanted for that nigga to die for 3 seasons.
Oh, well, you got
and was
no
so
wish.
And was so happy when he died. Went on Twitter and y'all was out there lamenting like this motherfucker was Martin Luther King, and I said, okay, clearly we are watching two different shows. Cause he could have went, and also motherfucking Tyrese could have went, acting like a punk. Acting like a punk. Let that motherfucking dude get the drop on him with that baby. Mm-mm, bye. I got no time for fake niggas. Just sipping Chris style with my real niggas. All right. Let me see. Guys, listen. That's the show. For the present, but there's two more parts that I said. They're really short though. So we got two things. We got future Rick, which is old man Rick, and then we got morning Rick, which is like a crying Rick. And from the way that they filmed it, the time period looks like more the crying Rick, whose eyes were red from crying, he was still crying and he was just sitting looking devastated. It looks like that happens probably at the end of this season or something, like after they fight Negan or whatever. And he's looking at two graves and all this stuff. That looks like that happens at one point. And then after that is old man Rick. So morning Rick is a close up on his eyes. You see he's crying. You see he's been crying a lot. He's crying. He looks up at something. It shines in his eyes. It's refracted light from the pane of glass, which I'm assuming at some point we're going to see that pane of glass and know, oh, that's where he was crying later on, because it's like a flash forward into the future.
Well, wait, question.
Yes, ma'am.
So I thought crying Rick was the same crying Rick from when Abe and Glenn got killed. Mm. That's who I thought he was.
Yeah, see, from at least from what I was, the way I was, when I replayed it, I think that crying Rick is different because there was the, at least I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe it's not a flash forward. But they had the pane of glass that was there that I don't remember that. Because after Glenn and Abe got killed, that's when, you know, Negan took his ass in that RV and made him get the axe and all that shit. Brought him back. They buried them in the hilltop, mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just thought that that might be two new graves, but maybe he was at the hilltop mourning over Glenn and Abe.
Was there a church at the hilltop?
I don't think there's a church at the hilltop. So
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and it might not have been a church. It was just a pane of glass that was out there. Right. So maybe it's something.
It's something else.
Maybe they built it in the hilltop and we just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know. This is just my guesses, guys. So I'm sure we'll find out together. But yeah, I was like, my assumption was that two more people died and that's what he was crying over the graves. And, Rick stands over the graves and says, "My mercy prevails over my wrath." And the title of this episode was Mercy. And I don't know what that means, to be honest. Like, I don't, cause mercy on this show ain't never good. Like, so far, mercy has been like, you forgive somebody and then they fuck up because they inept and you should have never forgave them. Or you forgive somebody and then they betray you. So I don't know if it's, like, if mercy's gonna change, cause this episode ain't feel too merciful. Glenn gave mercy up on Greg and got his ass left. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga.
And Father Gabe did too. Maybe he's eulogizing Father Gabe standing in Father Gabe's garage church or something. Because yeah,
that would make sense. That would make sense. And so then the second one was and then it also, right after they show the him mourning or whatever, this crying Rick, they also show him giving a speech, and it's a flashback to the same speech that he gave earlier, but it's a different part that we didn't see. And he says, "I don't want to wait for it anymore. You don't either, because we don't have to wait for it. We start tomorrow right now with everything we beat and everything we've endured, everything we've risen above, everything we become. If we start tomorrow right now, no matter what comes next, we've won. We've already won." And that's the end of the show. And then old man Rick wakes up in the bed looking gray as fuck. Like I said, is this 70 years in the future? Why he looks so old? And he's wakes up to Weird Al Yankovic's Another One Rides the Bus that I played earlier to start the show. And he gets up out of bed and he goes, what happened to the alarm? And you see Michonne's at the kitchen table sipping on some coffee, some pumpkin spice latte, I can only imagine.
Come on.
And just wearing her Uggs, chilling. And what I thought was interesting here is she did not look a day older. So whoever did the research on the show understands that black does not crack.
No, it does not.
And so
you might get a little gray, but you know.
Right. Her hair didn't, like, until she leaned into the light, I couldn't even tell if they had a different wig on her or not. Like, I was like, what? She looked the same. And so then she looked like she hasn't aged. Carl, who we don't actually see, we see the back of his head, but he walks by and Rick is like, where are you going? And Carl goes, "We all playing hooky today. And hey, you know, I didn't put this song on." So that means Judah put the song on, which makes sense because kids love Weird Al Yankovic, right? Which in a distant future, well, you don't have a radio, so you don't even know.
Oh, that's going to be the jam.
You don't even know the song that he's parodying. She just likes Another One Rides the Bus. She don't even know about Another One Bites the Dust. That's sad. Anyway,
but that's like kids now who don't know the original songs that rappers rap over. They don't know those songs.
Yeah, that's true. I guess but you could go find them. Now Rick will just forever be like, "Oh, you don't know nothing about this.
They ain't got the internet."
Literally.
You can't Google that.
Right. You gotta find them all, raid a old record store. Judith is there and Judith walks in, talks about a party, saying they built an owl for this party and it's a festival. And Michonne's like, "Yeah, everybody is going on about that festival today." And she's like 8 or 9 years old at this point. So we're now looking at probably a future at least 4 or 5 years from the present day events. And she told Rick to come outside to see the big owl they made for the festival. And you walk outside and you see that they built this village kind of by hand. And I don't know if this is, and I'll ask you guys, do y'all think this is a dream of the future, or do y'all think this is really a flash forward to where this show is going to take us soon? Karen?
Me? I think it's a dream of the future of what he hopes it will be, or what he thinks it will be is, I think, is one of the things that I think keeps it going, for the fact that this is a future that he could finally see. Because Rick lost hope when he couldn't see a future. Rick lost hope several times through the series, you know, and it's one of those things where I think he finally wants to settle down and make a home.
What do you think, Miss Smart? You think it's a dream, or you think it's, this is actually what's going to come to pass in the show?
I agree with Karen. I think it's a dream. I think, like she said, he needs this to move forward. If he can't imagine a bright future, then he can't keep himself hyped to fight. You know, it's like a little kid. If they can't imagine getting like the Rock'em Sock'em Robots for Christmas, they can't possibly act halfway decent for the week before Christmas. They can't do it.
That's a good point. I was thinking that it might be a swerve where it's a dream, and then like we find out some of the people in his dream are, or I shouldn't say a dream, where it, I'll say this, I think it might be like what's really supposed to happen in the future, but it's not gonna happen for several seasons, and that I guess they could do a time skip, but we're gonna find out who's dead, like How to Get Away with Murder. Mm-hmm. Like how to Get Away with Murder show, like we'll see as his dream, like he goes outside and Gabe's not there, and it's like, oh fuck, like Gabe must have died or something like that. I could see him doing something like that. That'd be very creative and very different for this show. The main thing though that I'll say, this is kind of I kind of didn't like it. I felt like they did that so people would stop being such assholes about this show is so dark and there's no hope and I just can't watch it. So it's like, if he give you a vision of the future where Rick is happy and he got a beautiful family and all the people we love, we know are alive and kicking it with him, then I feel like people will go, oh, well, this show does have hope. It is a happy show. So whatever they're going through now, it's like it kind of doesn't count because we know it's going to work out. And I hope that it's just a dream, because fuck that shit. I didn't watch this show for Happy Ending Street. I watched this show because I want to see people get fucked up in the Z-Pac. That's what's fun about it. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's why I'm here. And before you go on, I don't know when exactly this happened, but I think it may have happened once Rick left Carl, and he turned around. It was like a little girl walking towards him, and he shot her.
Oh, do you know that was the same girl?
Mm-hmm, from the very first episode.
Oh, you did know that? Mm-hmm. Okay, then, player.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I looked and I was like, this is how, because I said to myself, this is how the series started.
You did. You said it out loud on the couch. Yeah, because I was like, damn, that girl looked familiar, but I just thought it's not the same girl because that's ridiculous. It's been 8 seasons and we saw him kill that girl. Wrong. That was the same actress. It was a super secret Easter egg. So
and also,
did you know he didn't even know that?
Oh
yes, they didn't even didn't even tell Andrew Lincoln they were gonna have that little girl be the same girl. Like they were like, yeah, you're gonna shoot this zombie or whatever, and it's the same actress. He didn't even know.
Yeah, because the thing about it, that particular little girl stood out because it was like literally the first zombie he killed,
right?
You know, so she really stood out. And so I also, I think, and I might be wrong, but I also think that was kind of, you know, symbolic too for him, you know, almost like a restart, a reset, you know, like we're getting ready to redo it over again, quote unquote. But
well, I also think it tells you how far he's come.
Correct.
Remember how hard he struggled to not kill that little girl? Like the whole first episode was basically about him being like, what the fuck is going on in Z-Pac? I'm not killing the little girl. I don't care if she's a zombie or not. And he had to do it. And then this one, he just didn't even think about it. Just pow. All right. We had some feedback. Let's get into y'all's emails. The Walking Dead recap, two thoughts. Adrian says, how hard do you think that Twizzler stick that Tara was chewing on? You know that stick was hard as fuck.
Like chewing on rubble.
Right. It's like chewing on a stick. Dale would be so upset about his RV. That's all. Thanks, Adrian.
Yes, he would be.
Turk writes in, hi, guys. I give The Walking Dead season opener 3.5 out of 5 stars. Here are my highlights and lowlights. Sasha's husband still has a job, y'all. That was smart on the Martin Green's case in the Star Trek, in case Star Trek got canceled. Yeah, they brought her out for the Talking Dead, y'all. Oh, she looks so gorgeous.
Ain't she beautiful?
And if y'all not watching Star Trek, nigga, it got renewed, by the way. So it's coming back, too. It's good.
How many episodes is it?
It's like 6 now, I think, or 5.
Short. Okay.
No, I mean, for the whole season. I don't know what the whole season is.
Okay.
But yeah, it got renewed. Why is everyone acting normal about that goddamn tiger? She didn't even look tied down. Put her ass in a cage or leave her home. Right? To this day, I still have a picture of that That's black true. Woman that was the Muslim.
Oh, she was
that was like, I ain't coming out here with that damn tiger. Ezekiel, you better hold your pet.
Right. She looked like she literally pissed herself like, nah, I'm good.
Right. It's a tiger.
Right. It's a tiger.
Speaking of those who should be left home, Maggie needs to sit her ass down. Did you forget Abe died being out there for your sick ass? If that baby dies, I hope the ghost of Abe and Sasha come back and whoop her ass. Judith is so cute. I can't wait for her ass to die though. Ooh. Fuck Gregory. Whoa. Yeah, right? What if that's the grave you're crying over?
Possibility. You never know.
But that grave looked too big for a little baby. Fuck Gregory. All right, we all agree. No. So say we all. Jerry brought a bag lunch to the fight, probably with cobbler in it. Y'all better ask about him.
Come on,
he really can't go half a day without eating, huh? How can the kingdom afford to keep him and the tiger so well fed? Peace, Turk. Listen, you're not gonna be getting on us bigger gentlemen, okay? Because when the bullets start flying, who y'all gonna try to be behind? Exactly. Jabari says, good morning, Rod, Karen, and esteemed guests. Why did Gabriel's ass get out the car? I can hear collectively every black mother in the world say, that's why I told your black ass to stay in the car. Good thing Rick couldn't shoot for shit in that instance, or the season would have been over in an hour. Gregory looked like Jerry Jones' old ass. The hilltop stands for the national anthem. I'm glad he got pushed down the stairs, and I hope
he's gonna get suspended if you stand.
I'm glad he got pushed down the stairs, and I hope he suffers a gruesome demise. Thanks for all that you guys do. Keep up the great work, and belated congratulations on your 1500 episode. Here's wishing for a wildly successful 1500 more episodes. Jabari. Thanks, Jabari.
Thank you.
And last one, EVE says, hey, Rod and Karen. I'm gonna keep this short and sweet. Of course, Team Rick will win this war because Rick is backed by the sweet, sweet love of a black woman. Come on. Tell me you're gonna root against Rick and you see him tongue down Michonne. He can make every stupid decision he wants, and I'll be out there like, but he got a bad, how could he get with her if he's so whack? Don't make sense. She could have picked any nigga on this show. You were right, Eugene is a piece of shit. Thank you, all you Eugene truthers. Do you see what I'm saying now? He's a piece of shit. He's the worst kind of piece of shit too. The kind of person that watched something bad happen to you and be like, oh, this bitch fucked up, but I ain't gonna do nothing. Fuck him.
Yeah, make America great again.
Yeah. You know what? I don't agree with Trump on everything, but it's good economic policies. Oh, you know he'd be on a message board. Come on. With a fucking flag avatar. And die, Rosita, just die, EVE. Well, you know what, EVE? That was a great email. I agree with every word of it. All right, that's it for today, man. Wow, this is a short one. Thank you so much, Miss Smart. We appreciate you.
Thank you, baby.
Oh, no problem at all. This is good. Good times. Good times.
Toughed out the allergy medicine and the alcohol and hung out with us. And, you know, we will definitely be having you back on during the season, man.
Yes.
And next week, we have Jeremy from the Crown of College podcast is to help recap the show with us.
Yay.
So y'all have that to look forward to. Until then, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.